Well, I trust the last couple of weeks have brought you some encouragement, knowing that God sees you and knows you, and that you are never overlooked by your Heavenly Father, because He sees everything you do as you live beyond yourself to bring glory to Him, glory to God. And I hope last week that you were encouraged to go deeper with the Lord in your personal relationship with Him, that you might bind yourself to Him as you wait on the Lord, that God's strength that has no end would be interwoven like a rope with yours as you wait on the Lord and as you spend time with Him. And that time spent, that discipline of setting that time aside for the Lord would never be drudgery, because you know where it is going. That there would be a delight with the knowledge that you are spending time with God, that you are waiting on Him. And I so hope that there is within you this desire that is building to go deeper with your Heavenly Father, to go deeper with Jesus in your personal relationship with Him. Today, we are going to touch on a few things that in this culture, we can have great difficulty achieving. In fact, we might even work to actually avoid this taking place in our lives, because it kind of gets awkward for many different reasons. And yet, it is one of the most important factors if we want to hear from God, if we want to hear from our Lord. We need to be still. Being still, being in a place of silence and stillness, a place free of the multitude of distractions we often allow and even invite into our lives. So we're going to pray, and we're going to head into this for this morning. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for the worship that's already taking place here. I thank you for our youth and their willingness to practice and train and to lead us into your presence. Thank you for being here already, Jesus. Thank you for being here, Holy Spirit. And Father, I just pray you to continue to work here today through your Holy Spirit, speaking to the hearts of my friends. Lord Jesus, I pray you forgive me all my sins in your name, and that you would wash me, cleanse me. Holy Spirit, please fill me up. And Jesus, preach this message with me today. Father, I pray that my friends would hear you today. And Lord, we would not merely be hearers of the words, but doers as well. So God, come, continue to work here today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, over the past 12 years, there's been this family that has allowed Bonnie and I and our girls to use their cottage from time to time. And it's a few hours north. And pretty much every single time we've been there, there's never a whole lot of other people around. I mean, there are other cottages on this lake, but very seldom have we seen anyone else there. And it's actually pretty incredible. And I often wonder, why aren't they here? This is gorgeous. That's actually looking off the dock down the lake a bit. And it was the first time we were there, this really kind of stood out to me. I was sitting on the dock on an afternoon, and Erin, my second oldest daughter, who was 10 at the time, was sitting there with me. And we're there, and I said to her, Erin, do you hear that? And she is listening intently. He says, hear what, Dad? I said, that's just it. All you can hear is the wind through the trees. Do you know what you call that? Peace and quiet. And she kind of looked at me. And I said to her what I still believe is so very true. I said, Erin, trust me in this. As you get older, you're going to need this more and more. And there will be less and less of it. And I don't really think she got it. But then when I was 10 years old, I wouldn't have gotten it either. But I've enjoyed watching her as she's gotten older to understand this truth in ever-increasing ways, that we need stillness and quietness in our lives. Now, some of you this morning know what I am talking about. You understand the importance of peace and quiet. Or you might even say the sound of silence. Some of you are introverts like me. And we introverts, we replenish our emotional energy when we're by ourselves. And often, there are all these extroverts around us. And you extroverts, you're crazy. And extroverts, right, they get charged by being with people. And let's face it, though, introvert or extrovert, we need each other. We need each other. See, Bonnie, my wife, is an extrovert. And in fact, when I was dating her, when we first got married, she was an extreme extrovert. And early in the years of our marriage, it appeared to me, and I wish I could have been more like her, because it appeared to me that she, without any effort, could enter into any conversation, any group of people, and strike up a conversation and be at peace and comfort with them. And me, I tell you, I had to overcome my shyness, and I had to work at trying to engage in conversation. But here's the good thing. Over the years that we've been together, we have totally impacted each other. And I've got better at going into crowds where I don't know anyone and talking to people. And she's, I think, learned to enjoy the quietness. But whether you're an extrovert or you're an introvert, this is so important to your life. You need times of silence and solitude because it is important to our physical health. It's important for our mental health. And it is vastly important for our spiritual health. Writer and philosopher Henry David Thoreau in the early 1800s said, "Most men live lives of quiet desperation." I don't think that's as true as it once was. People today tend to live lives of noisy, chaotic, keep moving as fast as you can, desperation. I tell you, we are busy people. Are we not always moving, always on the go, always checking our phones? Because we have important stuff that has to be done. There are things that we need to be doing, and we're going to get it all done. Life is like laundry. There's always more to be done. My wife was away this week. I got to experience that. And so we go and go and go. And I find myself wondering sometimes if we are actually fearful of slowing down. I mean, are we scared of times of reflection? Are we afraid what we might discover in the silence and in the solitude? Are we living lives of chaotic desperation, even as Christians? Are we missing God-given gifts that our Heavenly Father wants to offer us, but we're never still long enough for Him to pass them on to us? I want to read to you a little story from the Gospel of Mark. And Jesus has spent the day teaching. And it has been a long day. Let me read to you from Mark 4:35. "That day when evening came, He said to His disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took Him along. Just as He was in the boat, there were also other boats with Him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke Him and said to Him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up, rebuked the wind and the waves. 'Quiet! And the wind died down and was completely calm. Then He said to His disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified, and they asked each other, 'Who is this? that even the wind and the waves obey him. See, I kind of think it would have been like that. Major storm happening. And then with a few words from Jesus, everything stops. The wind stops. The Sea of Galilee suddenly becomes calm. If there's any rain coming down, it would have ceased. At a few words from Jesus. See, and I wonder, are there storms in our lives? And is the storm one of your own making? Because we're always going. Working, trying to solve problems. Even in our recreation, we are burning hot all the time. You know, there are times in my life that I get caught up in the things of ministry, and I love my job. And they're good, it's good things that I'm doing, good stuff. And then there's my family, and I love being with them, but we're going and we're running, you know. I wonder if there's times that you feel this, that you're burning out. And we need Jesus to speak into our lives and say, be still, be silent. What do we do? What do we do? I mean, if Jesus were to speak those words to you, what would you do? I want you to think about this. Sea of Galilee and the wind, the forces of nature obey Jesus. They know enough to listen to Jesus, their creator. But me? Maybe you? I don't think we really get it. You see, our attention is elsewhere, on other things, except the place that it needs to be. The place where we can get connected with the condition of our own souls to figure out why we're really doing what we're doing, why we feel like we feel, why we are saying what we are saying. Are we aware of where we fixed the gaze of our eyes? Is it on our desires? Is it on the people who may stand in our way? Are our eyes fixed on our problems? Or are they fixed on our Heavenly Father, our Abba, our God? Are we conscious of God, of Jesus? I want to take a little walk through Psalm 46 this morning. Let me read this to you. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way, the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. You know, the psalmist here in this begins with a declaration of radical trust in God. That even if the earth itself were to fall away, and you might imagine violent earthquakes all around, and the sea were to overstep its boundaries, maybe through what we would call tsunamis. This is disaster on a large and frightening level. And yet the psalmist says, God is the one whom he trusts, and he will not fear, because God is his refuge, his place of safety. Then he goes on to write, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. And he lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So we move from the calamity of the first few verses into the city of God. And this would have, at that time, been referencing Jerusalem, where the temple was that represented God's presence. But my friends, where is the kingdom of God today? Where does God dwell? In you, through the Holy Spirit. And the world around us, at times, sure seems to be in an uproar. And yet, God is still in charge. And God is with you. God is with us. Come and see the work of the Lord, the desolation he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow. He shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. God acts in such a way in this psalm as to disarm the weapons of man and neutralize their defenses. And these acts of God are a horror to men who want to rule this world through military might. And then among all this action that's happening in these verses, this command comes that almost seems out of place. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Our God, the Lord Almighty, is our refuge, is our strength, is our fortress. And it is because of this that we can be still. That we can be still. But what is it that takes place in that stillness? Well, to be still, the word is Rapha, and it's another one of those rich words that is just full of meaning. And stillness, well, it means, and I just want to show you kind of what it means. It kind of means like this. Part of the root word means to slacken or relax. To be still, to relax. And we can relax not because we're lazy, not because we're uncaring. We can relax because of who God is. We have the ability to be still because of who our God is. And in that stillness, we give up trying to be God. We give up trying to control, trying to manipulate, even when we have good intentions. And we remember who our God is, our refuge, our strength, our fortress. That is who he is. He is God, not us, not our money, not our spouse, not our career, not our reputation. It is the Lord God who is our refuge, our strength, our fortress. And we refocus on God and we fill our minds with the truth of who we serve. My friends, I believe with all my heart that we have a huge part to play in this happening in our lives. We have to be willing to be still. Because there is always more to be done. And we have to be still and trust God. You know, there's more to this word. It means to stop. Stop doing what you're doing. Stop. And we're always moving. We need to stop. And we need to be still and silent before God. I actually believe the quality and the stability of your life depends on this. Consider for a moment Elijah, amazing prophet of God. You want to read about him? Go to 1 Kings, like 15 to 20, he's all through there. And Elijah has had a very busy and dynamic time of serving God. And then he appears to have a breakdown. He's wanting to end his life. He's asking God to take his life. You know, when that's happening, there are some mental health issues going on. And Elijah travels to Mount Horeb to the Lord. And God lets him know he's coming. Reading from 1 Kings 19:11, the Lord said to him, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. The old King James said a still, small voice. But please see, God was not in all the impressive grandness of those other things, but spoke in the stillness and in the silence of the moment. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" You know, we have made a lot of noise here this morning. Joyfully. But as we draw close to the end of this message, I want us to watch and consider the abundance of noise in our lives and our distractedness due to it. And I want us to do this morning in silence as we watch and consider. Silence. Stillness. I'm betting some of you felt a little uncomfortable for the 6 minutes that we sat and watched those words. Here's the thing. I believe in you, and I know that I'm an optimist, and I want to stay an optimist forever, because I believe in you as my church family. I believe you want to know God, and that you will take the time to be still, to mark out for yourself times of silence, that you can hear God. And he will speak to you and encourage you. And there will be times that he will rebuke you. Those are gifts because he loves you. He will speak to the issues within you. Because hear me, my friends, God knows you better than you know yourself or anyone else on this planet knows you. He is a good father who loves you. And he speaks to us. Jesus speaks to us. The Holy Spirit who indwells us speaks to us. And I believe you don't want to live lives of chaotic desperation, but lives full of our Lord and the joy and the delight and the heart that he can give us and has for us. I think we need to get reacquainted with the majesty of our God. Be still and know that he is God. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you. Thank you that you're all powerful, you're all knowing. You are our fortress. You are our refuge. And we can be still because you have everything. And Father, I would pray that even in this coming week, that my family, my friends, Lord, that they would take time. Lord, that last quote that we can't make time, we can only take time. But God, through this next week, that all of us would take time to get to a place of solitude and silence, and to hear your voice. Lord, and I would ask and pray that each and every one of us who puts that time there, who makes that time to do that, Lord, takes that time, Lord, would hear from you this week. And we would be so open to what you want to say to us. And Lord, that this might become this silence, this solitude, this quietness would become a part of our lives. That we would take time daily and weekly to spend with you, to listen to you, to hear your voice, and to remind ourselves what an awesome, amazing Father we have. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.